Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with a very special guest this afternoon, or evening rather, depending on where you're listening from, Michael Bradford. Michael Bradford is actually a very unique individual. I'm going to have him get into it a little bit, but a brief history on Michael. Michael is intuitive energy healer. He's a business coach. He's an author and a spiritual teacher with extensive expertise in health, healing, personal excellence, spiritual growth. He's an entrepreneur himself, and he touches base quite a lot in the paranormal with a lot of different medicines, readings, energy patterns, and a lot of different things. So welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, it's definitely a pleasure to be speaking with you. I'm going to start the way I ask almost everybody, and then we'll just kind of get into a conversation here on what you want to talk about and a lot of different things, I'm sure. But what drove you to dive into the unknown a little bit and learn more about what most people kind of stare away from and often look at you and go, yeah?
Well, Chris, it all started out I'm being told, okay, I'm going to tell you things, but I'm also getting told what to tell you. So I've never shared this before, but actually I was a twin in the womb and my twin sister died very early. And what I was told by some psychics and intuitives was that has given me access to the unconscious, to the other dimensions, because she's on the other side helping me. I've never shared that with anyone. As a child, I didn't know that, by the way, until I was in my 50s. I'll be 74 next week, so I've been around the planet a little while. As a child, I was very hypersensitive, and I was always getting in trouble. So in other words, if someone's father had died and no one was talking about it, I'd start talking about death and fathers. I wouldn't know what I was doing. I was just processing the energy that wasn't being spoken. And I was quite insecure, quite oversensitive as a child. I still am. And I would be picking up all kinds of things. So I would go into, when I went into school, I focused on math and science and stuff that I could rely on and touch. At about age 7, I was playing with my toy soldiers, and I heard a voice say, "You're to go to Israel. There'll be wars there, and you're to be a general." And I freaked out because I couldn't understand how a child could leave their family and go to a foreign country that speaks a foreign language, and on and on and on. I finally got up the courage to do that, and I didn't realize the connection, but it was around the time I was 35, just before I was 35 years old. So I was actually in Israel the time that Sadat got there. I walked the streets of Haifa the day before Sadat got there, and then wound up coming in front of the Wailing Wall on the eve of my 35th birthday. Wow. Now, in a number of the mystical spiritual traditions, you're not allowed to study the mystical side, Kabbalah, or anything until you're 35 years old. At that precise moment, I was in front of the Wailing Wall. And I had a burning sensation in my heart. This is a little embarrassing, but I'll share it with you. What I started thinking was, you know, what's the big deal? Why do so many people die over this pile of rocks? And then all of a sudden, that was all unconscious. And then all of a sudden, my heart started burning, and I knew that I needed to do more. You know, I have 2 years of engineering, bachelor's in business, master's in international management. My background was running companies and corporations, and I walked away from everything. And I started traveling. I started studying. So far, I've been to every state in the United States, including the state of confusion. I've been to 50-some-odd countries. I've spent time with Native American medicine people, Canadian medicine people, and Eskimo shamans, Peruvian shamans, psychic surgeons from the Philippines. I worked with them for over 3 weeks, helping them, doing the massage, holding the pans, working with the energy afterwards, been with the Maoris in New Zealand. So I've got so many T-shirts in my closet that I can't even fit anything in there anymore. So I've studied a lot of traditions, NLP, hypnosis, and what's happened is I've gotten to the stage now where I've gone beyond all of my teachings. Now all I do, and I coined the phrase in just reading up a little bit about you and your show, I live the paranormal. The paranormal to me is the normal, because third dimensional reality is only one small aspect of the bigger picture that I live in. So when anything happens, so I work in the areas of health and healing, personal excellence, spiritual growth, entrepreneurship, business, wealth creation. I help people across all spectrums. And all I need for them to do is call me and say, can you help me heal this? Can you help me clear this? And that's my entry point. And when they do that, I have permission to tap into their energy field, into their unconscious, into their Akashic records, whatever you want to call it. And all I care about, my primary motivation, is to help people. And I've worked with women who have trouble getting pregnant, or couples that have trouble getting pregnant, women that have keep on having miscarriages and they can't hold the child. I can see what's causing that. I've worked with cancer, diabetes, allergies, hep C. Look, I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know diddly about any of these things. But all I'm doing is tuning in and saying, you know, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, energy, all that is, how can I help this person? What is the missing piece that when they have that missing piece, they come together as a whole person? What is it that they're missing? Karmic? What is the karmic pattern? It's kind of funny because I was talking to some people and they were attorneys. And I said, I'm an attorney too. I've been told that all I do is renegotiate karmic contracts. So I'm helping people to look at their energy field and to get the information from it. Now, this is kind of a funny situation. There's only one person I can't do that with as well. And that's myself. So I surround myself with other people that are high quality. And when anything goes on the planet, let's say we're all feeling bad one day, we'll all network with each other and say, okay, how are you feeling today? And if all of us are feeling bad, then I know that it's planetary. And if it's not, then we know that it's something about us as individuals. And then we get a chance to look at what it is that's specifically going on. I'm sorry. I think I asked way over answered your question. But I'll
no,
let you
make perfect sense, actually. And you're making sense to me because I started in the business field myself, and I'm still in the business field. I deal with marketing, negotiations, and medical clinics worldwide. But
wow.
One thing I have learned, and I actually was on the road for a little while in motivational speaking with several other people. Most people don't know their names. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if I mention them, but people like John Paul Mendoza, Perry Marshall, who actually do social media marketing on a regular basis. One of the things I learned is something similar to what you're explaining, and that is, in order to have a key to success in your life, whether it's just simply being happy, or whether it's business or whatever, you surround yourself with other people that you can exchange your situations with that are every bit the same type of positive influence you are. So being around all of these people have taught me a lot of things and the way I do my approach and how I speak to people and what I do and so forth. Even though it's different than the paranormal, I've applied all that to the paranormal, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I'm going to tie this in with medicals. I've worked with chiropractors. I've worked with in medical clinics. I've worked with people that are having challenges with psychiatric, which is, of course, way on the far edge of what I want to do and I'm comfortable doing. But when I was working in Southeast Asia, I was working with a team of holistic medical doctors who were excellent at what they did. And they shocked me one day. They said, Michael, your work is more important than ours. And I looked at them. I said, what? They said, yeah, we cannot tell what's a medical problem, what's a energy problem, what's a karmic pattern or problem. And until you clear those for the patients, we don't know what is medical and what isn't. So we're treating things, and a lot of times we're treating the symptoms, but what I'm looking at is what is the root cause, and this goes across the board in any area and every area. So rather than some people use the model of the onion, that they have to work through the layers of the onion. Well, if you don't live in the paranormal, you're not, and I don't want to say psychic, but if you're not highly intuitive and you can't see the deepest root cause and go to it almost immediately, then it's taking a lot more time, energy, money, pain, suffering, etc. And whatever the gift that's been given to me or entrusted with, that they spirit has entrusted me with, that is what I've been able to do. And what's interesting is there was one man, he was a head trainer for a major corporation that had, it was so large, it had its own in-house personal development program. And I won't give you the whole story, but it came down, the guys in front of the whole audience, he said, Michael, for 13 years, I've been working on my mother issues. 13 years, this is the head trainer with all the people he knows. He's been working on this issue for 13 years. And he says, Michael, I can't crack it. What am I missing? Well, Chris, I shrugged my shoulders, just looked at him. I said, it's easy. It's not your mother. I said, it's your father. Did your father ever say he loved you and respected you? Boom, the guy exploded. And emotionally, tears, everything else. He grew a couple of inches taller. That's all he needed, and it took seconds. There was a guy I worked with in Malaysia, Chinese man, and he was highly allergic to coriander. And he made a comment about being allergic, and I said, I've never met an allergy that was real. And he was screaming at me and everything else. I didn't know what I was talking about. Again, I'm not going to give you the whole story. But and 34 seconds later, he was totally clear, because I saw a past life where coriander was mixed into the poison and he was poisoned and died, but the taste of the coriander mixed with the poison threw him off and he didn't realize he was being poisoned until he died. So even though it was many lifetimes ago, it was still in his energy field, and that was the entire allergy. And since then, he's been totally clear. So time is an illusion, especially if you're working in the paranormal, you're working in the spiritual, metaphysical. Time is you can go forward, backwards in time. You can tap into the Akashic Records. You can tap into everything that exists, providing you're willing to use your intuition or your psychic spiritual ability. I've actually formed an organization called the Intuition Training Institute, and I'm going to be launching that very, very shortly. I've been doing it under my name, Michael Edward Bradford, or Michael Bradford. There's so many Michael Bradfords out there, I started using my middle name. And this is my passion, is to help people and teach them. I'm going to take some more risks, since you deal in the paranormal. I've seen spaceships. And I've had communication with them. When I was in Egypt, I saw walls of stone actually melt and vibrate visually, where I could see it vibrating, where I felt like if I just put my hand on it, it could go right through. I've seen so many things, and there's so many stories in my books. I just finished writing one book called Mastering the Human Experience, Your Soul's Journey on Earth. And I put a lot of stories in there to help people understand not only what the principles are, but how it relates and ties in. For me, I'm a storyteller. And there's a lot of times when I've told stories where the people can hear that better than me trying to work with them directly. The ego and personality doesn't go into a defensive mode when you're hearing a story, but sometimes it does if you're addressing a person directly. A person that's 100% interested, willing, and committed to their growth. I believe life is about learning, changing, and growing. Actually, there's two models. Number one model is to work from the outside inward to help a person. The other one is to work amplifying their soul frequency and vibration and amplifying their essence. And that's another way of healing and working. And I like to work with both of them. I'm going to give it back to you and let you ask some more questions.
Well, you actually mentioned a couple of things that I teach on a regular basis. When you start diving into the paranormal, one of the things, scientifically speaking, that you learn when you start going into physics and you start talking to several people that dive deeply into it is something that you mentioned, and that is that time is irrelevant as we perceive it today, so to speak. Time is more a word. It's kind of like space. Space and time both are words that we put together so that we can define things. We see the after effects of time, so we have to explain that. We put a clock together because we know the sun comes up and the sun goes down, so we have to explain that. Space is relative to what's in between the walls, what's out past the planet, what's in between objects from point A to point B, so we have to define that. Now, when you start diving into science, you understand that a little bit more when people start breaking it down simply for you instead of mathematical equations. But I think a lot of the public doesn't understand that they take it too literal, I guess you could say, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And they take a lot of things literal, like the human body. Look, I've got over 500 stories, so you know I've got plenty for this radio show and more. When I've worked with people with allergies, there's someone that attended one of my workshops, and we never talked. I didn't know they had a thyroid problem, but they had a very serious thyroid problem their whole life. In the 2-day workshop I gave, this woman attended, and we worked on a number of different things. And she gives me a call back 2 months later. She says, "Michael, for the first time in my life," this woman was in her late 30s, early 40s. She said, "Michael, for the first time in my life, my thyroid is in normal ranges." My thyroid, whatever it is that they measure. And again, in my belief system, okay, when someone comes to see me, I never used the word cancer, diabetes, allergies, hep C. I never used those words ever. What I do when a person comes in, I see God. I see spirit. I see perfection. I do not see the challenge, nor do I give it any energy. I actually, if anyone in your radio audience wants to contact me, I'm more than happy to give them some sheets of paper, articles I've written and everything else. But for me, I see perfection. And then I look at what is keeping the person from perfection. What is the thought, attitude, belief system, unresolved shock, trauma? What is keeping them? If you take a look at a weed and you cut it off at the top, it's not going to kill it. You cut it off the middle, you cut it off at the earth, you're not going to kill it. You've got to get the taproot. And for whatever reason, God's spirit has entrusted me with being able to see that, and that's all I do is look at that and then give that information to the person. There's people that I've met who have had cancer, and one woman came to me, and I said, how can I serve you? She said, "Michael, they sent me home to die." And this woman was in her 60s, early 60s, very attractive woman, red hair. And I looked at her energy field and I said, "You don't want to live." She said, "Yes, I do." Anyway, we went back and forth for a little while. And then I said, "How long did you have the cancer?" She said, 12 years. And intuitively, I picked up something happened 15 years ago. And I kept saying, "What happened 15 years ago?" "Nothing." "What happened 15 years ago?" "Nothing." We kept going for about 5 minutes. And she said, "Oh, my God." And I said, "Okay, what happened 15 years ago?" She said, my daughter and I got into a fight, and my daughter said she never wanted to see me or talk to me again. So I asked her the most important question that I could ever ask. I said, how did that make you feel? And she said, I just wanted to die. And I said, bingo. That was the generator. That was the thing that's hidden under the surface that was creating the cancer. There's someone else recently that I met that has had serious cancer for 18 years. And I asked her, I said, what happened 22 years ago? Nothing. What happened 22 years ago? Nothing. She had an abortion 22 years ago. So when our psyche, when our value system, whatever it may be, whenever we have an unresolved shock or trauma, that forms a crimp in our energy field. And because it's a weak link, it sets up triggering whatever our weakest link is in our body or our family histories or our genetic history. And that triggers it. I can take the same thing and talk about corporations and businesses looking. I look at a business entity the same way that I look at a human being. So it does, for me, it doesn't matter if it's a company, a corporation. One person I wound up working with owned 36 corporations, and he was having a very bad success rate in hiring CEOs. And I worked along with him to identify who would be best for the job intuitively. However, I never met the people, never saw their resumes, never saw a picture of the people. And I was still helping him make decisions because intuition, reading the energy, following the energy, tracking the energy will give you that kind of information. Or I will say it a different way, all the information in the universe is available to you. It's just a matter of how you shape your intention. Back to you, Chris. You got me on a roll. You got me excited.
Well, it actually makes a lot of sense applied. I guess it's just because of my business instinct, being a part of business and marketing, being a motivational speaker for quite a number of years, and working with a lot of amazing people. A lot of what you're saying makes sense, especially on a business level. It's very easy for a business to get sidetracked because as you're building the business, you're building it out of pride and you get to a certain level. But a lot of times the baggage that you had before you began that business, even if it's successful, ends up hitting you somewhere along the line and it gets out of control. I have that discussion with many, many people, and it takes a long time to get people to understand, well, you do know that it's happening because of this, this, and this, and if we alter this slightly, if we change this, if we move it around a little bit, we can still stick with the moralistic values that you're looking for in your business, but you have to understand that it's because of this reason.
Yeah, you're absolutely okay, go ahead.
Well, it's a rough thing to do. Being in consulting for quite a number of years, you lose some clients because they don't like to hear that, and you have other clients that pat you on the back and say, you know what, you're right. But it's definitely a task sometimes.
Well, I like I said, I've got quite a bit of business credentials. I was always also the lead consultant for the State of Oregon Small Business Development Center for a long time. And what I watched was it wasn't the systems. It wasn't the procedures that got them in trouble. It was their ability. It was the internal structure that each person had that was limiting it. As you were talking, I wrote down five things which I'd like to share with you. Number one, what's going to get you in business or anything else is the weakest link. So you may be excellent in certain areas, but you have to. You're never stronger than that weakest link. And that's true in business, it's true in marketing, professionally, et cetera. The other thing I use is the road ahead. If you're not highly intuitive, you're working from your left brain, you're only got a 50-50 chance of being right at most. So if you're operating from a right and left brain and you're highly intuitive and you can see the road ahead, it's almost like taking a camera that's out of focus and then just turning the lens so it's in sharp focus. You can see what's going on. If you're in a car, totally dark night, and you put on your parking light. Oh, first of all, if you have no lights on, you can't see anything. can even see your hand in front of your face. You put on your parking lights, you can see a little bit. You put on your low beams, you can see a lot further. You put on your high beams, you can see further. And when I came back from Alaska in December one time, I put an aircraft landing light on top of the car so I could see further into the distance, because there were moose and very big animals that were wandering around, and you definitely didn't want to hit them because you'd be dead. So it's about seeing the road ahead. The other one I wrote down as you were talking was, we outgrow our expertise. So we have a certain amount of knowledge, but if you're working with an advisor, a coach, a mentor that has been there and back, I walked into, they asked me to be part of a team that went in, not a team, they invited me to go into a steel mill in Malaysia. I don't know anything about steel. And they were telling me all the problems they were having. And I said, what is the shipping range that's effective? And they said, oh, everything's too heavy. We can't ship more than, I think it was 500 miles or something. And I said, great. Who are the best competitors you have in the world? And I said, form an alliance with them in other parts of the world, and you each give each other consulting on the different areas where you need expertise. You're not in competition. You're in collaboration. So changing the model and getting more expertise in there, you didn't even have to pay for it. So they were very happy with me. The other note I made was, look at a dartboard. And if you're throwing darts and you don't have a lot of expertise, or you don't have the right team together, you're not going to hit the bullseye. Well, what I'm looking at is working with a team, working with a company or an organization, where we're constantly hitting the bullseye. We're not doing it blind. We're picking out and identifying who the right people are, what the right approach is, what the right pricing is. There was a long time ago when I was selling a piece of equipment. I can't remember if it was $250,000 or $750,000, but it. This is going back, early 1980s. But we were the highest priced company in the business in what we were selling, and I didn't lose an order, because all I kept saying is, I didn't care anything about the specifics or the technical aspects. I kept asking, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? How can we give you the service, et cetera? And I never lost one order. The other thing is about life, mission and purpose. What is your mission and purpose? You're there to solve people's problems. You're there to make people look good and help them. If that is your primary mission, rather than to make the deal, get the money, and make a fast deal, I don't have, let me rephrase this. When I see and work with a client, to me, they are the most important people in the entire universe. I am there to serve them. I am there to help them realign their energy with their divine blueprint, with their essence. I am there to help them to wash away all the limitations, all the doubts, all the fears. Yes, I totally acknowledge the humanness of each person. However, we all have this unique divine gift within us that has been due to experiences in life and other challenges. Sometimes the light is not as bright. Most of the time, the light is not as bright as what that person really is. Okay, I'm going to bounce it back to you. Go ahead.
Well, you're making a lot of sense in a lot of areas, though I'm sure it's probably hard to communicate sometimes when you're on radio, because I've even had those issues when I write books and I speak to people and so forth. Of course, I'm on my first real book now, but I've done a lot of training manuals, marketing mentalism, things along those lines for the sales world. One of the things that actually caught my interest was when you were talking about seeing further. I have had, and I know you've talked to a lot of people, I have had the privilege of spending some time with some Native Americans. And one of the Native Americans that I spent time with on a reservation that was a shaman and a leader of the community, which is how I got in there, he took me aside and put me in the wilderness, I guess you could say, with him for almost 24 hours. And one of the things that he said is, I'm going to teach you something. And I want you to concentrate on it. You're probably not going to be able to do it today, but just take the time and do it. And he told me to close my eyes, and he said, I want you to listen to what's in front of you. Now move past that. What do you hear? Okay, I hear this. Okay, now move past that. What do you hear? Okay, I hear this. Now continue to do that until I tell you to stop. And we sat there for a good 7 hours doing this. And what I took home with it was a meditation technique that I did for many, many years when I could do it. I learned that if you isolate yourself and you look past the obvious, even when you're listening, like when you close your eyes, you may be able to hear the insects or the leaves around you a little bit or some noises around you, but you can move past that all the way down, believe it or not, to hearing the grass grow.
Yep.
It's absolutely fascinating. Once you realize you can do that, it takes a while, but once you realize you can do that, it's really fascinating.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in here. I mean, you just got me excited again. First of all, Chris, may I give you a gift?
Sure.
I believe you have 5 really good books inside of you that are screaming to come out. Just thought I'd share that with you. When I'm writing another book now on intuition, and I talk about how with sensory deprivation, in other words, sometimes they use it in tanks. Some people use psychedelic drugs and everything else. I'm totally against that. I don't believe in using any chemical or hallucinogenic drug, although I know the Native Americans and other people will use ayahuasca or peyote or other things. That's not my path. I'm way too sensitive. That stuff will fry me. But in certain, what I've talked about is the way people develop their intuition. And one is the vision quest. And I've been on a vision quest with the Native Americans where you sit for 4 days and 4 nights, no food, no water, no talking to anybody, in total silence. And your perceptions change. I actually had a vision, which is basically supporting the feminine energy on the planet. But when we are so distracted with cell phones, noise, and everything else. The other thing is some of the Native tribes, I don't remember being in North America, but in South America, they will take a child, or in Africa, they'll take a child and raise it in a cave until the child is a teenager, never letting it out and never letting it in sunlight so that it learns not to get attached to people, places, or things, and to open up the senses. So sense, and you know about the float tanks and that also. So these are all different ways, and I never heard of the one that you're talking about now. That one's a new one to me. I've met Leonard Crow Dog, head medicine man of the Sioux, I think to the President of the United States. Wallace Black Elk, head medicine man, I believe to the United Nations. David Corsheen, the head medicine man of the Canadian tribes to the Queen of England. Those people have all blessed my pipe and my personal pipe. So I've walked the path of the Native American. And the other thing I'll share is that I was told that my soul is a combination of Native American and extraterrestrial. So they told me, or other people have told me, that I'm bringing forth information from the ancient past, Atlantis, Lemuria, and even prior to that. And then I'm also bringing energy and information from the future into this incarnation to help people. And that my main goal here, and this kind of shook me because it's not something I would have said, but I've had multiple people tell me, Michael, you're a teacher of teachers and a healer of healers. And I went, Okay, I wouldn't have said that about myself, but thank you very much. And I love the more advanced someone is, providing they're committed to getting there, the more advanced they are and committed to moving forward, the easier it is to shift them. And I've had some really good success with people that are pretty, you know, well along on the path. And again, it comes down to how committed and how willing are you? Are you aligning your will to be willing, or are you in resistance? I've actually written a sheet which gives ego and personality traits versus soul-based traits. And again, if anyone in the audience wants that, I'm more than happy to send that to them. Back to you, Chris.
I guess, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things when it comes to, you know, growing, but one of the things that you mentioned that I think I should probably address with the listeners, and this is something I got into a discussion on one of my groups recently on, and I was more than glad to share some information with them. The term energy is a span that most people relate within the paranormal world, so that you understand, listeners, and some of the investigators that are listening, I'm sure, will probably agree with this. They relate it more to electronic phenomenon and, you know, elemental energies and so forth. But as I was explaining to somebody here quite recently, because she took offense to how I was explaining it, is if you look into early legend and you apply some of the things that are learned today, energy is a unique situation, and each individual person is a part of that, like you're mentioning here, that can draw off of specific energies. If you're in a room and there's a lot of positive energy going on, if you're motivationally speaking to people, if you're at a conference or so forth, and everybody is positive, you can actually feel and tap into that energy, which is why you're positive yourself. And negative is the same way. You know, being with a lot of call centers and so forth, one of the things that I have taught when I've got into call center environments is removing that negativity from the environment, because, you know, a lot of people grouped up into a room and they're supposed to be calling people all day. It can be a very negative experience, and all it takes is one person and it passes on to the whole room. Ironically, in 99% of the call centers worldwide, once that negativity gets to a certain point, what happens? Well, not only do you have lack of employees working good, but you'll find that your instruments all of a sudden stop working. You're going to have phone problems. Yep. Your computers are going to start breaking and so forth. And there's reasons for that. So I was trying to explain to her earlier that it's not necessarily that I'm telling you that you're wrong and your experience wasn't real. I fully believe your experience is real. What I'm telling you is it goes a little bit more beyond what most people think. In order to solve that problem, sometimes you have to look at the positive and negative, the energies in the room, how you can cleanse certain things, how you can talk about that, how you can increase the positivity in your life. And then you'll find that a lot of those negative things, including haunting, sometimes just disappear.
Okay, absolutely. And one of the things that I, first of all, there is no such thing as, okay, I'm not disagreeing with anything you say. Energy is just energy. It's not negative or positive. However, we as humans label things. So let me take light, for example. Everyone looks around and, oh, the lights are on. I see things. Okay, but you don't see ultraviolet. You don't see infrared, but the energy of light and frequency and vibration keeps going forever. Uh-huh. It's just what we have the ability to see. That's why they create all these instruments to measure stuff. But a lot of times they haven't created the instruments that are intelligent enough or capable enough to go ahead and see into these different areas. Same with electricity. Sound also, you take a bat, you take other animals, or you take a dog, you know, a bloodhound. Humans can't see smell that well, but the dogs can. So everything that exists has a huge range. And again, when you're talking about whales, dolphins, sea animals, there's all different kinds of frequency and vibrations that are out there, and just because we cannot physically see it, we are trained. Okay, I've gotten into my new book on intuition. I'm talking about how in the past there were seers, healers, and prophets in the Old Testament. That was there. And then all of a sudden, everything changed, not with the time of Christ and everything else, but after that, when people started changing and they took reincarnation out of the Bible. When I was over in Israel, I worked, spent time with a Hasidic, the ultra-orthodox, and I thought I was asking a bunch of questions. I was afraid they were going to kill me. And they laughed at me because I was asking questions, and they said, "Why don't you know this, Michael?" And I'm saying, "Well, because it's not out there." But reincarnation, all these things about visions and whatnot, everything paranormal is in the Old Testament, which, of course, means it's in the New Testament, which means it's also in the Quran. However, there are certain writings that were taken out for specific purposes. And I don't want to get into that because that's a whole nother deal. Okay. But
yeah,
in my new book,
we could talk
about
that for another hour or two alone.
Oh, yeah. And then what happened during the time of the... So when Christianity started coming about, the Council of 312, 326 changed everything because they selected what they wanted to believe and what they didn't. They didn't stick with the original teachings. Then what happened is when the Black Plague hit, they wound up... The church needed someone to blame and consolidate the power in the political system. So who had the power? The seers, the healers, and the prophets. So all of a sudden, that became the devil. That became black. That became the enemy. And it was just a political consolidation of power. And even now, I live in Virginia, which is in the Bible Belt. It's on the fringe, where a lot of people... this is, how do I put this? This is touchy for them. You know, we are, rather than looking at what is our genetic history, what has happened from the beginning of time, when I get around seers, healers, prophets, people that are live in the paranormal world, they live on the edge. Well, it's not the edge, actually, it's the center for me. But when they are... heavily involved in the paranormal, for me, I love it. I mean, I could talk freely. I can let down all my all my being reserved and cautiousness, and I can talk, and I love dialoguing with these people, and I love working with these people because they can see beyond illusion. And the illusion is that the only thing that's real, and again, this is the medical community, this is everything else, if they can't touch it, it's not real. And I would say, I'm going to really stick my neck out here, I would say over 90% of the issues people have operations with and health issues with and everything else, the cause, the deepest root cause, is an unresolved shock, trauma, or an energy blockage in the body, or a karmic pattern. However, when those aren't treated, then it's like a short circuit. One of the things I was going to put together was a new presentation, and I was going to have a Ferrari or a Maserati picture and go, man, this is the end-all and be-all. And I would have, how many people would love to race me in this? And whoever beats me, I'll have a bicycle, you have the Ferrari, and I'll give you $1 million if you beat me. How many people want to take me up on it? And of course, everybody's hand would go up. But then I would say, except, see this little wire here? This little wire is cut. And because it ain't moving one inch. Or there's water in the gas tank. Or... the transmission fluid isn't in there, or one little thing, and that car is basically useless and worthless except for parts. So, and again, I will take this. I wound up giving a talk at a leadership conference and showing my method of just working with and identifying challenges. The head of Sony Corporation, I can't remember his name, it's one of the past presidents or CEOs, before he would go out and make a decision on a big deal, he would go home and have a cup of tea. And he said, if it didn't set right in my stomach, I don't care what it looked like on paper, I wouldn't do it. And then there was another guy called Armin Hammer, who's a real person. And I had a friend who worked for him. And he said, Michael, this man would get all these business proposals. He'd sit down in his chair, he'd meditate, and he'd take one in his hand. And he'd go, nope. And then he'd take the next one. He'd go, put that in a pile, maybe. And then he'd pick another, go, whoop, this one's a good one. He put that down. But he did it all psychically, intuitively. Again, living in the paranormal world, now you still have to do your due diligence. You have to do your due diligence. However, can you imagine if all the companies had an in-house person that worked with them, with their board of directors, or with their management team, or even their HR department, picking and choosing the right people for the deal? And you were talking about being in a phone room and the fear, the anger, the frustration that people have call after call after call, and the amount of rejections that they have. I get probably 5 calls a day, and I'm not even that, you know, out there, where people are trying to sell me things and, you know, just hang up on them or block the number. Uh-huh. It is probably one of the hardest things to do, cold calling.
Back cold to you for the fast cold calling and fast food. You have to have a very good personality in order to make it past the loopholes. I started off as a telemarketer years ago. I won't get into that story, but that's how I learned the business world and the sales field, and then applying a lot of different things throughout the years. But you did mention something that's very, very important that I'm going to get into here in a little bit. I know we're running a little because we have a wonderful conversation, but I want to just stop for a pause for a moment.
That's
You're
fine.
Listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations here in the United States. If you're thinking about a podcast or a radio show, I would encourage you to go with Donald, go with the best, go with BBS. A little bit of other news. We will be filming at Octagon Hall September 15th for the Generation Truth Project. We're actually going to be following alongside Rat and one of the team leaders for Past Paranormal. I do encourage you to keep an eye out for 2020 through 2023, as well as our video product that's about to come on the market within the next year and a half, if everything works right, called Haunted Excursions, which is actually going to give you more of a look at the location than the investigation itself. We're talking to Michael Bradford. Michael Bradford is an amazing person. And Michael, you actually said something that is really true in the paranormal that we'll discuss here in our last 15 minutes or so. And that is that there's a constant battle that goes on within the paranormal when you start getting into the investigation world and the paranormal study and so forth. Once upon a time, it wasn't a battle, but after TV and media took over in our great rise, I guess you could say is the easiest way to explain it, is the battle between the physical and the non-physical. Because there is that battle there. People do want to see physical proof. However, when you're dealing with the paranormal, sometimes you're not going to get that physical proof. So you have to kind of walk that line when you're looking to try to figure out what you can do and what you can't do if you're trying to prove there's something else there. And that got lost in the media rise, which I'm going to be talking about in my new book. I won't get into details on that, but it's fascinating that you mention that, because there is a lot of non-physical presence in the paranormal, and a lot of that is extraordinary once you move past it. People concentrate too much today on just wanting the proof, what's physically in front of you. And that you have to toe that line. You have to look for that, obviously. You have to do the science. You have to be able to explain certain things and how they apply and rule out things. But you can't discredit as well that non-physical end, because it's definitely there, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And you know, you're leading me into another area, which Chris, I'm just so enjoying our discussion. Moving into the, okay, let me do this a different way. Look, I have, you know, engineering background, math background, science background. I was and still am heavily involved in that area. And when I started getting with the Native Americans, I started doing all this other, especially the psychic surgeons from the Philippines. Excuse me, going inside the body with your hand? You know, I had 11 operations on me because I was helping in the healing rooms. They did a bunch of work on me. At one point, they went behind, I'll repeat it one more time, behind my eyeball. And I could feel them inside behind my eyeball. And I freaked. And they did, like I said, 11 operations on me. Now, my mind, scientifically, mathematically, I'm trying to calibrate, explain, understand. And after a period of time, after seeing so many things happen and people improve, even with the work that I've done, I've just thrown my hands up in the air. I went on tilt. There's a point where it's like a barrier in the mind or a barrier somewhere within us where I need to be in control. I need to understand. I need to figure everything out. Oh, it just happened. Isn't that interesting? There's a shift that goes on. Now, there are some people that need to touch it, feel it, smell it, taste it. Absolutely. Some of these things, it's only explained by chills, by heat, cold. I was in a business meeting the other day talking to someone, and they said, Michael, I got chills all up and down my body. And they took a picture of their arm with all the goosebumps on it and sent it to me. And they said, Michael, this is what happened when we were talking. So there's different ways that our body and our mind picks up things. And let me go to another area. I'm going to take the orca whale and compare it to to a lion and to a human. A lion does teach its cubs information. And this is part of my new book. And however, the lion cub will still attack a porcupine and get stuck. A lion cub will still go after anything that moves to eat. The orca whales, according to research that I have, they will teach generationally. And when one generation learns it, they will pass it down so that the young do not have to experience it. They learn it intuitively. I don't know how to explain it, but it's transferred. The knowledge is transferred down from one generation, and it's not done that way with lions or other animals. So how does that happen? It's got to be paranormal. It's got to be another energy connection. You know, we're operating in third dimensional reality. Okay, there's another story that wants me to tell you. I was in New Zealand, and I got a call. They said, Michael, can you help us? And so I went there, and they said, we've got this huge farm, and everything keeps breaking down. We don't understand what's going on. Now, this is really stretching things. So I'm there, and I look, and I'm scanning the energy. And it feels like there's a dimensional, the line, the barrier between dimensions is not strong. And there were like these prehistoric monsters coming through from the other side. And then our energy from this third dimensional reality was coming through to the other people. And that was creating a battle energetically in the spheres. And I brokered a deal and I said, look, you know, we're sorry. This was not done intentionally. What if I create a barrier? I pray and I create a barrier within my mind and within, because that's where everything exists. And you stay on your end, we stay on our end, and we honor you and you honor us, and we'll be at peace. And they agreed. They never had a problem with their farm afterwards. I'll give you another one. When I was in living in England, a friend of mine in Scotland called me crying. He said, Michael, he had 600 lambs or a sheep farm. He said, Michael, this is the worst lambing season I've ever had. The crows, the foxes, they're all killing the baby lambs. I'm going to be ruined. And I went up there, sat with him and his wife and another friend. So the four of us sat, and I did a meditation. I honored all of these animals. And I said, can you please find other natural food other than the baby lambs? And again, prayed, visualized, acknowledged everything. And I left. It was about a 45-minute meditation. He called me back 2 weeks later. He said, Michael, everything's gone. I turned around 180 degrees. All of a sudden now, this is going to be the best lambing season I've ever had. So I understand, and I really appreciate people who do not believe in the paranormal. We're not taught to believe in that. We're not taught to believe in miracles. We're not taught to believe in something we cannot touch, feel. And there's a lot of superstition about it. But I'll tell you something. With me seeing all the things that I've seen, I'm a believer. And it takes a lot to get me to believe. However, once you step across that line, it's absolutely amazing. Back to you, Chris.
Well, we're actually down to our last 4.5 minutes here, so I'll it's been a wonderful conversation. But ladies and gentlemen, you've been speaking to Michael Bradford here on Paranormal Truth and Reality. If you want to know a little bit more about Michael Bradford, and generally I let the guests do this, but I don't want to take up a lot more time on the schedule because I know my next host will be angry at me. You can visit Michael Bradford at www.michaelbradford.com. You can also look him up on Facebook, Michael Bradford Global. He's on LinkedIn as well as Michael Edward Bradford, and he's on YouTube. So you can look up Michael Edward Bradford on YouTube and find him at all of those locations. I will actually be posting this throughout Facebook, the Generation Truth and the Paranormal Truth and Reality website, which should be up here in the next couple of weeks. It's been a wonderful conversation. Of course, you're listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality on BBS Radio. BBS Radio, once again, is one of the largest digital radio stations here in the United States of America. So remember that if you want to go with the best, always go with BBS. Next week, we've got another wonderful guest, but I'm going to end it this time as I end it every time. As you're learning, and those of you that have followed me on Facebook in the past week, especially on Real Time Paranormal and a few other avenues, as I've told you, the paranormal is a wonderful place of the unknown. It doesn't orient around just one ghost, just one UFO, or just one occurrence. There's a lot of elements from the scientific all the way out to the metaphysical and the unknown that apply every single day. So if you take anything from this today, not only understand that you yourself can develop into something greater, but take the time to research all of these avenues, understand and read people like Michael Edward Bradford and the many other people that have been out there, and learn that the paranormal is a wonderful place. We'll let you off of here. It's been a wonderful evening. Enjoy your evening and have a great night.
Thank you, Chris.